I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. No Lance today. Lance's grandma died, so he's up in Kansas. He is a pallbearer for her. So that is happening today. Me and Del and Harrison. And this is the first time Harrison has been doing the show. Well, he's done your show before.
Yeah, he's filled in for Tyler when Tyler hasn't been here or when Jose couldn't do it. So, yeah, I've worked with Harrison before.
They're both guys with big beards, only...
No, Harrison, I commented to you to try to describe Harrison to you, and I thought his beard was less kempt than Tyler's, but no, Harrison's got he's cleaned it up, too.
Yeah, no, but if I could describe Harrison to the people, I might say he might be a mountain man with a pocket protector. He's a logger by day, a systems analyst by night.
I could see that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could feel that. He looks like, what he looks like is he's from Central Casting in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
That show.
Huh?
Like I feel like he fits in.
But he's the wild renegade.
Yes, because of the beard.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the beard guy in Silicon Valley.
He's the guy that's kind of temperamental. Everyone's not sure. They're never sure.
They're never sure what he's going to do.
Yeah, they're never sure what mood he's in.
Right.
And you got to walk on eggshells around him.
Right.
In that show.
Right.
Here, he seems just like a normal guy who's ready to go.
That's what we think, but we're not sure.
We don't know.
We'll see.
He's never been up. Well, he's been up early before, but he's rarely here at this time of the morning. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and he doesn't turn my mic on, so it's already...
He said mic's hot. Did he turn your mic on?
Yeah, but not at the beginning of the show. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Mic was hot. He turned that off during the middle of it, and then he went back.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, John's never going to turn his mic. He used to do that, but then he worked down on the network, and they don't allow that there. There's no button to turn on. So John's now used to someone turning on his mic because he's lazy.
Lazy.
So you're going to have to turn on his mic all the time.
Yeah, so there's that. One of your top stories this morning is interesting. It's in the Chronicle. You always highlight some stories, and you put them on the rundown. And one of them is the Bill O'Brien, Brian Gain contract situation. I would imagine Brian Gain, it's got to be close to done if he's the GM.
What are they trying to figure out?
I don't know what they're trying to figure out. Bill O'Brien has 1 year left on his contract. Interesting, yesterday, though, apparently Albert Breer was on a Philadelphia radio show. I think it was a Philadelphia Fan Cred Live sports talk show with Michael Felger and Jay Stu. I don't know where that is. Anyway, so they were talking, and apparently Albert Breer says that Bill O'Brien, more or less, Bill O'Brien is the number one guy of the New England Patriots. He's their target if Bill Belichick should leave. I don't think Bill Belichick is going anywhere. I don't. But that Bill O'Brien would be the number one guy doesn't surprise me at all. I don't think that you'd want Josh McDaniel. He was his first stint, and he admitted that he was an a-hole. He was trying to be an a-hole when he was in Denver. He was trying to, you know, assert his authority, and he said, "I just really screwed it up." So you don't know whether or not he can handle the situation.
Well, he responded to the question in terms of if McDaniels and Matt Patricia already had jobs, and Bill Belichick decided to go.
Well, I would still think that Bill O'Brien would probably still
even
be
ahead of Patricia,
even ahead of Patricia, and just because here's the deal: is he's got experience, and he's won, and he's got a team into the playoff. You know. You might say, well, he's been mediocre as a coach. Do you know what Bill Belichick's record was when he was the Cleveland Browns head coach?
Didn't he make the playoffs once?
Once.
And he went 10-6 that year, 9-7?
He was at that point 11-5.
Oh, so he's already done better than Bill O'Brien without Tom Brady, right? His one year?
Well, his 1 year was better.
Yeah.
But his all the rest of his years were worse.
I watched that documentary about when Cleveland left Baltimore. I mean, when the Ravens left Cleveland, the original Browns. And didn't he coach the year where it was already announced that the team was leaving? Wasn't that one of Bill Belichick's years? He coached that final season where...
They were 5-11 that final season.
Where the Browns... He went into the year...
It was 1995. When did they leave for... did they leave for Baltimore?
I'll have to look it up. But I felt like that was... They pointed to that as one of the reasons that ended poorly is because the entire city had turned on the team. And they were coming off an 11-5 year. He had built... 6-10, 7-9, 11-5 in Cleveland. And then that final season was 5-11. And I thought they pointed to the fact that the city had turned on him. It was just a bad situation there. And no one wanted to be there because everyone knew there was
going to Baltimore. Sounds like the Texans last year. But no, sounds just like it.
But they weren't moving to a different city.
Doesn't matter. I think everybody turned on them. And I think that no one enjoyed them. And the city just really hated them. But the point being...
Yeah, that was the year they left.
95 was their last year in Cleveland. Yeah. The point being, Bill Belichick was not thought of as, oh my God, got to have Bill Belichick. Yeah, he's a great defensive coordinator with the Giants. But as far as head coaching goes, Bill O'Brien, you could argue, was a great coordinator with New England. He had the best player in Tom Brady. Bill Belichick had the best player in Lawrence Taylor. He had a Tom Brady-like player defensively, plus a lot of other really, really good players defensively with the Giants. I mean, that was a freaking loaded team. So the point being here, well, it's just that's silly. No, I don't think it's really silly. I think that would be, I mean, Robert Kraft did it with Bill Belichick, and I don't think that, and he's from his tree. And much the same kind of guy, a guy who is respected. I'm telling you, I think that the NFL looks at Bill O'Brien a lot differently than we do here.
Does the NFL have the microscope of what the Texans, what people in Houston have on Bill O'Brien? Because I don't know, we get sports radio listener and tweeter, so it's not a clear indication of what the city feels, because the people who might just go to the games may have a different opinion to the people we actually interact with. But the microscope on Bill O'Brien shows a lot of warts. Maybe in New England, they don't see that. Maybe that'll be a benefit for him if it does come to pass where Bill Belichick leaves. And Bill O'Brien would have the benefit of the best player, or close to the best player, for how many years? One, two?
A couple. Yeah.
Couple. And then he'd have to prove that he could develop the next one.
Yeah, and Bill Belichick did him no favors by getting rid of a guy that could take over for Tom Brady. Well, I don't know if it was Bill Belichick that did it or Robert Kraft. We don't know after that ESPN report. But, no. There would be a lot of work to do. I don't think that there's any question about that. A lot of work to do. So, and would he be successful? I don't know if Bill O'Brien would be successful in New England. But it's not outrageous. This whole thing is not outrageous. That's a guy with experience as opposed to Patricia, and the experience that Josh McDaniel had. No other guy from that tree has had any success whatsoever at coaching after they left New England. So I could certainly see that Bill O'Brien, it's almost identical, although he's got a better record than Bill Belichick did when he was in Cleveland. So the situation was tough, like you said, leaving that last year. But I don't think it's outrageous at all. And I wonder if that's not a bargaining tool right now. Is it odd that Albert Breer, this comes out while Bill O'Brien is working on a contract extension?
It's not odd if you know the Texans and Whispers.
Not Texans. This is if I'm Bill O'Brien's agent, I'm putting this out there.
That's what I was going to say. It's not odd if you understand how the Texans seem to work.
Yeah.
And the people involved in the Texans.
I think it's the business. No. I don't think this is Texans related at all. I think this is the business.
No, but
look at
the people that we know who are involved in the Texans.
Somebody got raises? You know why?
I'm aware it's the business, but if you say it's not odd considering who is involved in this, and we know things like this occur, maybe not contracts, but more often, hey, this wasn't me, it was him. I swear it wasn't me, it was him. So this doesn't surprise me that in the middle of a negotiation, when you have 1 year left on your deal, that the talk of possibly being Bill Belichick's replacement is something that's out there.
No.
And it certainly doesn't hurt you if the best franchise in all sports wants you.
Oh, no. It doesn't
allegedly want you.
This is absolutely. Now, is it fabrication and manufacturing? It could well be. I don't know. Is it a real possibility? I could certainly see it. Again, this is not so different than the whole Belichick situation. And everybody, Bill O'Brien's not even close to blah, 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 blah. But Bill, remember this. When the Patriots hired Bill Belichick, he wasn't Bill Belichick. He was 36-47, Bill Belichick. 36-47 with one playoff appearance. And Bill O'Brien actually has a better record with two playoff appearances.
Well, that's comforting for Texans fans. He will go on to greater success someplace else. That makes everyone feel good.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know what? I'm not sure the Cleveland fans, or well, then Raven fans, were all that bummed about Bill Belichick leaving. And I don't think Texan fans would be all that bummed about Bill O'Brien leaving.
In fact, some of them probably are hoping that it comes to pass.
Well, the question would be, can you find another Tom Brady? And, you know, here's the thing. If I'm Bill O'Brien, I got that here already. You know what I don't have? I've got Tom Brady for a year or two, and I've got Deshaun Watson for a career. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to play this for all I can, get as much money as I possibly can, get a nice extension, get a little job security, make sure Rick Smith never comes back, and I'm going to...
Why don't you put that at the top of the priority list?
Right. Well, I think that's
make sure Rick never comes back, my money, and stay with Deshaun.
Here's the thing, though, because I wrote this yesterday, is that it could be a one-year deal if he doesn't get this contract extension and get the blessing of the organization... Then this could be a one-year deal with where we made a mistake. Oh, Bill O'Brien doesn't want to be here. He's just got 1 year left on his contract. Oh, we got Rick Smith still waiting in the wings, okay? The war between Rick and Bill O'Brien is not over yet. Now, if he signs a long-term contract extension, then that's over.
What do you think happens with this contract? Let's say I guess you think it's not as much fantasy as maybe I do, him being in New England. Because I don't think Bill Belichick's going anywhere, but we'll see.
I don't think so either. But Bill Belichick's getting older now. By the way, when Tom Brady leaves, do you want to tarnish your image?
Well, that according to the story, he wanted to be set up. The Garoppolo thing was such a pain in his ass to trade him because he wanted that to be his legacy. Mm-hmm. That he set the Patriots up to be successful after he was gone. What's the likely scenario in terms of a contract for Bill O'Brien? Is it a long term deal? Is it a 1 year extension? What do you think?
I'm going to guess it's going to be a 3-year extension, so he'll have 4 more years left.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would want to know if that makes people feel good. The thought that Bill O'Brien is going to be around.
You know how that's anybody's listening right now.
It's Bob McNair's money. He can always fire him if he wants to, but we feel like we know the warden, and doesn't feel like he's firing a guy after he extends him for 3 years.
I was watching South Park last night, and is there any show? Well, maybe Family Guy, where they puke more on.
No.
I love that. And people were probably puking in their car right now, thinking about a three-year extension for
coming off. I know the NFL, the owners are people, and they like who they like. But coming off a 4-win season, manipulate a situation into 3 more years of guaranteed money, just crown Bill O'Brien. Just crown him.
He's the king?
I don't know. He's climbing the ladder in Game of Thrones. If he can get three more years off of 4-12, congratulations.
Did he not already beat Cersei?
Is Rick Smith Cersei?
I don't know.
How is he?
I don't know.
Rick Smith is not as brutal as Cersei. Because if he was Cersei, Bobby Nair would already be blown up in the sept.
Well, he's not the Khaleesi. We know that.
He's not. No, of course he's not. I don't know. Rick Smith is. Rick Smith right now is Varys.
He's, every way he's Robb Stark.
He's not dead yet. He's been castrated.
Yeah. Okay.
He's Varys.
Oh, you think he's Varys? But Varys,
yes.
Varys didn't have any power. Rick Smith was the ruler.
Varys had his little birds and he got all this information and he used that information much like he uses Ian Rappaport to get stuff out. Yeah. Rick Smith is Varys and right now he's castrated Varys. We have to see what happens when he comes back. Varys is sailed across the sea to find the Khaleesi. What do you think? Rick Smith needs to find his Khaleesi. He's going to need to find his power broker to come back.
Well,
because right now, no power.
No power whatsoever. All right, 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776. Time to talk about my peeps over at Trailer Wheel and Frame. Yeah, they've got all the stuff that you need for your pickup, along with, obviously, we talk about trailers all the time, and new and used, and lease and rent and buy and trade in, and all the things that you want to do with your trailer. Fix, you know, you got any issues whatsoever, inspections, all that stuff that you got to do to keep it legal, all the wiring that you need to do, everything for the lights and everything, all the stuff that you need for your trailer. Anything trailer-wise, of course, they got that. But they've also got, we're really concentrating this year on all the accessories for your pickups, be it the bed liner, the gun rack, the toolbox, whatever it is that you need on that pickup, they've got it at Trailer Wheel and Frame, 8222 I-45 North. That's the Canino exit. And listen, if you're looking for the best in prices, do not buy from the dealership. I can't say this enough. You're going to pay through the nose. When you buy it from the manufacturer, you're going to save. All at trailerwheel.com, trailerwheel.com, 281-931-7777. It's Trailer Wheel and Frame.
They say I need some roping to put in my hair.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I was going to try to make some kind of a shithole statement, but I just thought I didn't want to say, what can you say?
Did you want to call a certain place a shithole?
A shithole, yeah. I don't know.
Like Dallas is a shithole?
I said that already.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of feel like I just love our president.
I know you do. He fits. I feel like this. His tweets and his statements are what you would say at any point, depending on how many Coors Lights you had.
Why we gotta have all these people from these shithole countries and not from good countries like Norway?
Of all places, Norway.
Norway. Well, can it be any whiter in Norway, though?
It's a good place, I guess. No, it can't be any whiter.
Is your country one of the shipholes?
Well, you mean Nigeria?
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
I think it's on the shiphole list?
I'm sure he referenced Boko Haram because that's unfortunately a thing there. I'm sure he heard Nigeria and Boko Haram together. And he saw a lot of black people there, so he probably thinks shiphole. Yes.
Why we got to get all these people from shiphole countries? Why can't we have them from the good countries Norway or Sweden?
And as you might imagine, CNN was not happy.
Do you think CNN was displeased with our president?
The opening of one of the shows was like, our president is a racist. And that was the opening of one of the shows. Someone has an opinion.
And?
I don't know if you're wrong.
Listen, I just love him, though, because every day he brings us something special.
He does. And now places are shipholes.
Yes. You're from one of them shiphole countries as opposed to the good ones.
Let's be clear, John. How many of your friends have said that about one of those countries? You don't have to name the friend, but could you point to a friend? Yeah, my guy would say that about one of those countries.
About one of Oh, yeah, I kind of run into the
Wednesday. Yeah. Well, what? Why is everyone so upset?
I don't know.
I call that all the time.
Yeah, right. Well, right. Oh, no. Joe, make no mistake. There are plenty of Trumpers out there that don't think he said anything wrong.
Hey, maybe he shouldn't have used that term, but right. we know what he's talking about and how's he, or maybe he should have. Who cares? Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Or they're saying, you know what? What? The truth hurts? Okay.
Hey, we want a guy who talks like us. And I've called that place a shithole thousands of times.
Why we got to take those people?
Yeah. And the shithole they came from.
We need people from a
Norway,
good country.
Like Norway.
A good country like Norway.
What does anyone know about Norway?
Make the Texans great again. Well, you can just put in whatever you want on
that
hat.
Yeah, on that hat, yeah.
Yeah. America. Okay, we're making America great again.
God,
not shithole countries.
God, my wish is I just want JT to be really, really good. So this will be part of his background. That you in that hat with your thumbs up like this, like Fonzie, you in that "Make America Great Again" hat. I don't know how it happens. Play that man. Let him light up the world. So this becomes a thing where people are pointing to his father and saying,
"Hey, look at that. What?"
He has to
what? He's Republican?
No.
What?
Just that hat.
And by the way, I just wore the hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
I ran for president too. Oh, by the way.
Oh, that you don't think that'll become something?
Oh yeah.
The video is still up someplace.
Somewhere.
Me shaking.
I didn't win is amazing.
Yeah. Well, it is amazing actually.
713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Who would you think is going to be, who's the betting favorite to work Monday Night Football?
Do we want to play this game like we haven't had this discussion already?
Right. Well, you know the answer to this.
I'm not surprised.
Who do you think is going to be the Monday Night replacement for John Gruden?
Who are the options? Do you think they go with a set guy who's a color analyst, or do they try to go after a big former player?
Well, Peyton Manning would be a huge get. Yeah, that would be a huge get if Peyton Manning wanted to take it over. I see Peyton Manning more in a John Elway role, don't you? I see him taking over an organization, not just Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I feel like
which will be too mundane for him.
Once he's done, I guess, once he gets bored of being a pitch man, I imagine he would probably want to get into a front office.
Not that he's so deep that it's just too mundane for him to do Monday Night Football. Yeah,
the man puts his sack on.
By the way, it pays well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he did that when he was in college.
Yeah, but I was in college.
When you're a rookie, it's okay to do stuff, right? Wait, he did that when he was a rookie,
no
right?
No one knows the reference.
Okay, wait.
You
want
to explain it to everyone? Because
Damian Lillard attacked Chris Paul with the layup. When Damian Lillard was a rookie, he dunked on the Bulls when he didn't have to. He could have just dribbled the clock out.
And I said, well, he was a rookie. Paul's a 13-year-old veteran.
Oh, wait a minute.
13-year,
Peyton Manning 13-year was in veteran. College. Peyton Manning was in college.
Yeah, I was in college. I never put my sack on some woman who didn't want it.
Did you ever not dribble out the clock?
No.
Okay, you didn't do that either. But you're making an excuse for Damian Lillard. Yeah, you won't make one for Peyton Manning?
Because it's not the same thing.
Oh, yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm not making an excuse for a guy deciding to put his sack on a woman. I'm not making that excuse.
Well.
And she didn't ask for it.
But first of all, we can't believe anything she says.
Oh, well, that's the other reference. The other reference is we can't believe anything that trainer said, according to Archie Manning, because she had relations with black athletes.
Right.
And Archie thinks she's not trustworthy because she did
not. We can't believe anything she says.
No. God, how does Archie? Well, he's an older guy and he's an NFL legend, but how do you fade? Not an NFL legend, more of a college legend. How do you fade that? Archie's not in the public eye, so it doesn't matter.
Believer. Peyton Manning, even favorite to be the Monday night. Next would be Louis Riddick. I don't know. He's interesting enough.
Yeah,
Kurt Warner. You know who might. What about if they stole Mike Mayock?
Yeah,
I
like Mayock as well. Does he want to be a guy who does that every Monday? Is he more into the nuts and bolts of?
I know he likes doing games.
I know he does. But what would his role be if he moved to ESPN? Because he goes to the Senior Bowl for...
He does Notre Dame still, doesn't he?
No.
No?
Is it Doug Flutie? Is it Doug Flutie and Mike Tirico?
Is it?
I don't know. I think it's Doug Flutie and Mike Tirico.
Well, whatever. He works for the NFL Network.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a difficult transition. I don't know whether or not he would. I don't know. And I don't know whether or not he's sexy enough. You know, they I think Rex, they've got Rex Ryan at plus 1,200. I would put him way up there because ESPN likes guys with names.
I could see Rex Peyton Ryan before one. Mike Mayock.
Peyton Manning one. Steve Young says, I'm not doing Monday Night Football, so he's out. Tim Tebow. But you know what? It's not out of the question, even though he's terrible, because he's Tim Tebow. But Boomer Esiason, Rex Ryan, Randy Moss is up there.
I don't think it'll be a simply an analyst like or a Mike Mayock type. They'll go former athlete or coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And they want a name, too.
Yeah.
They want a name. All right, 713-780-3776. Who wants to get in? We'll catch up on breaks here. 713-780-3776. Hoops is what I'm talking right now. Let's talk some basketball, all right, because my guy over at Hoops has the best goal in the market. Your kids want to play, and they want to enjoy the game. If they're in the car right now on their way to school, they're probably saying, "Dad, yeah, I would like a goal that you could lower and I could dunk. That would be a lot more fun than putting a basket up on the garage, stapling it to the garage, and I have to shoot 10, you know, at the 10-foot level. I want to dunk, Dad." Yes, little girls and boys, they like to dunk. You can lower it to however low it needs to go so your kids can dunk. They can hang on the rim all day long. You don't have to worry about that. Breakaway rim, unrustable pole, a tempered glass backboard. Your wife will be happy because it looks great as opposed to those white backboards that are peeling and the rim is crooked. This is the best goal in the market. Your house deserves it. All at ProDunkHoops.com. Go to ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822. Keith Tate does it better than anybody. You'll love doing business with him at ProDunkHoops.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You know, besides what you put out there on the rundown, Lance sends this locker room sneak peek at tomorrow's hottest locker room stories today. One of them is that their robot strippers made their debut in Vegas. Now, they look like robots.
So what's the appeal?
They got the giant long faces. You know, it looks like a camera. It's not like they're trying to make them look like girls.
Okay.
They do have the girl bodies, though.
Girl robot bodies?
Robot bodies.
So what's the appeal of the stripper who looks like a robot?
I don't know, because there's no substitution.
I saw Ex Machina, and it was a sci-fi movie, and it was a robot, but she looked like a real woman.
Yeah,
because it doesn't look like that, right?
No. It's got a giant, long, camera-looking head.
So what's the point?
I don't know.
Are they just trying to prove they can get it done, then they'll advance technology and make them look more like women?
I'm starting to see more and more like robot dogs out there now. All kinds of robot things that are going on now. Do you believe that someday robots will kill all of humanity?
That would mean they'd have to develop their own intelligence. Do I believe at some point robots will be able to decide, hey, humanity is worse, is bad for the planet, so we're going to kill them all? Sure.
Yeah.
But it'll be after I'm dead, so I won't care.
Yeah, probably. I don't care.
But I think at some point, artificial intelligence will exist and robots will decide at some point, are these people worth it? No, they're not so much. They're not worth it.
I think Harrison's people will destroy the world.
Oh, the Silicon Valley people?
Yeah. Huh.
Not just the people with beards and glasses.
Listen, one of your beard hairs might get into the robot and malfunction it, and then it will want to kill instead of, you know, being a stripper.
If robots find out that we created robot strippers for our own amusement, they will decide to kill us.
Well, maybe because it's misogynistic
and we're abusing their previous entities or iterations. Excuse me. Yeah, they'll decide to kill us.
Yeah, because
it won't even be something like they think the planet's better off. It'll be a revenge killing. They will see that this is we are disgusting as a species, and it's like you don't deserve to exist anymore.
Yeah, we're just using them for their robot bodies as opposed to their minds.
Yes, and not going to do it. I was going to drop a robot hashtag, but I'm not going to do it.
Nope.
Sure.
I wouldn't do it.
Nope, not doing it.
Daryl wants to talk about robots. Let's get him in here on ESPN.
Of course, we talk about robot strippers and someone decides to call it.
Yeah, as opposed to anything else sports-wise that we talk about. Bill O'Brien, want him as a head coach. Who's going to be the next Monday night? Stripper robots. Well, I got to call in about this.
Of course.
What's up? What's up, Daryl?
At Roll Tide. All I got to say is start off. But, this is my first time calling on the morning show. I've been calling a lot to get through. You guys never pick up the dadgum phone.
That's not true.
But,
shortest wait times in the business.
Different show, but yeah, correct.
All right, go ahead.
That's the 11 o'clock. But them robot strippers, you know, I saw that Ex Machina show. And, you know, still, you got to have some hair or something you can grab, you know, something that you know is real, even though she looks kind of cute, you just, they've got that see-through head. Now, I don't want to pay my hard-earned dollar in Vegas at some daggum robot strip show, but branching off of what you said about robots taking over the world, have you watched the new season of that Netflix show Black Mirror?
No, Lance has. I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God, it is the most frightening. I've watched the whole season. Me and my wife love it, but none have been more terrifying than, I'm not going to give anything away, but it's the black and white episode of the new season. It is horrifying if you are scared of robots, because they make it to where it is so believable that it is so close in the future. It's not like cyborgs or anything like that. You got to watch it.
Yeah. No. Lance is on that already, and I got to get on it. The only thing is, of season one, the first one is that the dude has to have relations with a pig.
Yeah, if you can get through that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That is a great start to the show. Okay. It was interesting to see that. Well, not really to see him do that to the pig, because you don't actually see it, but him trying to figure out any way not to, and then eventually deciding, can I do this? Can I not do this? Daryl's an interesting subject, because he's called in to Raheel and Dell. He's called in to multiple shows. I appreciate him calling in to rip other shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. I feel like he hit every stereotype that you could think of.
Yeah, he really did.
He called in and said Roll Tide.
Mm-hmm.
He put on that accent. His name's Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's real.
You don't think so?
No.
His other brother, Daryl?
I feel like his name's Josh, and he just likes to troll the station.
That's what you think.
I don't think there's an actual Daryl.
I don't know. I think
my wife.
While he may not be real,
Roll Tide.
Well, I think he may be a compilation of
multiple Southern stereotypes.
Yeah.
He picked Alabama as his team.
Yeah.
He says things like my wife and ex machina.
Ex Machina,
whatever he said.
Dadgum robot stripper.
Yeah, dadgum robot.
Anytime you say dadgum.
Yeah. Man, well, we want a little subtlety.
Well,
I don't mind Southerner on a mobile, but give me a little subtlety.
But see, that's it. SEC guy on a mobile, SEC fan on a mobile. Okay? And he's living the life. He's living the life.
Not Dan Holden says you can't sexually harass a robot, guys. Oh, you say that now?
Oh yeah.
When they develop their own intelligence,
yeah,
they'll be making that decision.
Yeah,
what you can or cannot do.
Oh, you can't really? Because that's what men thought about women about 100 years ago.
100 years ago?
Well, right.
Like today, they still think it can't be done. Right. Yes, it can.
More accusations. The Alley Theater now. Did you see this?
I did not see that.
I saw it today. Is a sexual. I don't know. Stuff going on at Alley Theater. Oh, who would have thought?
James Franco's catching more of it, too. His list of women who've...
James Franco's added?
Yeah, they've got...
Time's up, James.
More women have come out against James Franco. He was on Colbert promoting his, I guess, the disaster artist or whatever. And he brought his brother out, some brother acting. Colbert asked him about it. He denied all the stuff. And but yeah, now he's skipping the Critics' Choice Awards because... apparently no one wants him there.
Hmm.
So, yeah, he's not fading this.
Yeah. Trucker Mike wants to talk about Daryl. And I think then Daryl wants to talk about Daryl. What do you say, Trucker Mike?
Hey, guys, love the show. I know it's not throw shade Thursday or nothing, but I got to throw shade at that last caller. And that was just one of the stupidest comments I ever heard, man. And I listen to you guys all the time.
So you hear stupid
stuff.
Irrigation
talk, listen to Gilbert, listen to all that good stuff, man. But since we're going to talk about robots, could a robot football coach the Texans better than Bill O'Brien? Let's talk about that. Could a robot call plays better than Bill O'Brien? Could he call timeouts better than Bill O'Brien? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I think that there is a form, yes. I think that you can probably program a robot to call timeouts. Some of it, no, it's really not feel. I mean, if it's going to take so long to get to the line of scrimmage that you need to save that time, I know Bill O'Brien just doesn't have a, let's face it. I mean, honestly, this is a big enough sample size. And you want to read, I wrote about this actually yesterday in Sports Map. But it's a big enough sample size now where we know, and Bill O'Brien would say, yeah, I don't want to hear it. And you guys, you know, this is what coaches hate when we criticize them. But we, if there's one thing that we can see with our human eyes, maybe we can't. And I love when people get on offensive coordinators for their, well, the play calling. We could see at the end of the Georgia-Oklahoma game that the play calling got tight. We could see that Kirby Smart and that offense got tight. They maybe made some mistakes in the personnel that they had on the field. All this stuff that we can see that. We can see when you're supposed to call a timeout and you don't. We can see when you're supposed to throw the red flag. Now, it's in the middle of the game. We're watching on TV. It's a different deal. But when even when I was on the sideline for the Texans, I kind of feel like, you know, I have a pretty good idea and a pretty good feel for red flag stuff, and some coaches don't. And you know what? Bill O'Brien really doesn't. He really doesn't. And he can, you know, hate us for criticizing him. It's a tough job. It's, there, you know, it's to the second. When you're watching on TV, you have a huge advantage. When you're standing on the sideline in the middle of the game trying to call a play and, you know, timeouts, and trying to win a football game, and the pressure is on, and all of that stuff, it's different. It is different. There's no question about it. But guys handle it better than others, and Bill O'Brien doesn't handle it well.
To the robot question, yeah, you could program a robot to know when to go for it. Like, there's math. There's advanced stats to tell you when it's beneficial to go for it, when you should call a timeout. I think it's not like Bill O'Brien wins in the gut feel department, which a robot could never do.
Right.
It's not like he's 80% when he goes with his gut. So, yeah, I think you could program a robot to be more efficient, at least, when it comes to deciding things like timeouts and when to go for it. And when, I don't know if a robot could tell when to throw the flag because it's a robot.
No, it's a robot. Yeah. It wouldn't be able to. But if you get 7 yards, if there's a minute, two left, and you get 7 yards and he doesn't get out of bounds and you have three timeouts left, you call a timeout because you probably got some guys vertical up the field that are going to take a long time to get back to the line of scrimmage. And Bill O'Brien just doesn't have a good feel for it. He just doesn't. And you know what? You can say all you want. And Bill O'Brien, again, he's forgotten more football than we'll ever know. There's no question about that. But he is deficient in this area.
Would a robot Texans head coach won more than 4 games this past year?
No. No one could have won more than 4 games with Tom Savage and Kendall Lamb.
I feel like a robot would have figured out a way to win more than 4 games.
Well, he would have won more than 3 games with Deshaun Watson, a quarterback.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Hey, let's bring in. How about this? Yesterday, John Clay Wolf sleeping during his commercial. Not only sleeping, but he apparently has a hard time talking into his phone as well. So John Clay Wolf joining us again. GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. John, what's going on, man?
I am awake. I'm taking my kids to school.
No way!
Official.
You're awake taking your kids to school. Now, we were wondering whether or not, you know, your wife had woke you up. We were talking about consummating a relationship. I don't want to know the details, but did everything work out for you yesterday morning?
I'd give it a 9.5 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Wow, good for you, pal. That's a great way to start your day.
It's like running up the stairs and ringing the big gong. I mean, it was a good way to get the day kicked off.
That's awesome, awesome, awesome. Good for you. It's good to be John Clay Wolf because you've got all these people that want to sell you their car, and you have a wife that is wonderful. So that's all good stuff. And you get to take your kids to school. It's wonderful to be John Clay Wolf. Now, John Clay Wolf, how about if people go to givemethevin.com, how long does it take for you to get back to them?
It takes 45 to 60 seconds to load your car in, and the system will immediately give you a quote, right? Then, unless it's over 115,000 miles or over $50,000, then we will, our guys, so to answer your question, it gives you a quote instantly, and then we'll contact you within 2 hours to tighten it up and finalize things.
There it is, and it's that easy. GiveMeTheVIN.com, GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf has been doing this for years. He's the best in the business at it, and he wants your car. Sell it to him. He's going to give you the best price. If he doesn't beat CarMax, he's going to give you $100 for nothing. Okay? He's going to beat CarMax. And you, every once in a while, you got to write a check, right?
Yeah, we write several checks a week. I mean, you can't win them all, but we definitely, on the bottom of the check stub, it says, thank you for the opportunity, because that's what we're buying, is an option for the last look. So, and remember, tomorrow morning, I don't know if we started at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock there, but of course, nine. The show's on your station that we've been on. It'll be 8 years, man, like in February, that we've been on that station.
Awesome. 9 to noon, I think, right here on ESPN 97.5. John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Just the my game.
For the block, boy. Take it rough.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There we go. Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. You almost did that on the air, though.
I'm not afraid. I don't care.
Jackie's not a big fan of Daryl's. Daryl, apparently, is not someone that Jackie thinks is genuine.
Trucker Mike didn't buy it either. No. Jackie says, hey, can y'all tell Daryl that was the worst, dumbest call I've heard in years? That's saying a lot, by the way. Stupid accent, dumb jokes, pathetic. If he's doing this to entertain anyone other than himself, he's failed miserably. Thanks, guys.
Stu greater than Daryl. Stu is greater than anyone. Yeah. That Stu segment was the greatest segment, other than maybe Trey's segment yesterday.
I don't know. Rodrigo Blankenship versus Papanastos was pretty good too.
Rodrigo Blankenship and Andy Papanastos was one of the great segments.
It's saved. It'll probably. Lance wants to do a best stuff thing as opposed to just simply playing network stuff when we're off. So that's saved.
Oh, that's in.
Yeah,
Stu's calls in. Trey is in. We got a show already. Well, we've only been on the air for a month.
It's a show. It's three segments. We've got three out of eight.
We can't put Daryl in there.
No. Daryl, you only get one call a day, by the way, but he wants to defend himself. Does he want to talk about robots or defend himself? Oh, Daryl hung up.
No, that's David.
It's David. Daryl hung up. Daryl, you only get one call a day, and no one's buying that you're actually a Daryl.
No. Let's get David in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, David.
Good morning, John, Dell, long time, first time, double rods. Is there anything else I need to say then?
No, that's all.
No, you're good.
I covered it. All right, good. Yeah, I work for the world's largest server manufacturer up here in North Houston, and I can guarantee you we could program up something to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. To call timeouts at the right time?
Yeah, call timeouts or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's really not that hard. I mean, heck, years ago they proved it when they did the card, so you can figure out when to go for two.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is look at the card, right?
I mean,
heck, a computer could do that for you.
Yeah. It is arguable sometimes because there is some human element in it. Bill O'Brien likes to save a timeout for the final play, which sometimes is, you know, maybe you get to the final play quicker because you didn't call a timeout earlier. But there is some feel to it, I think. But I think for the most part, you can. I think you can put together a card or some kind of a system, like you said. And
maybe if we took the feel out of it, he'd get better.
Maybe. Yeah, I think some coaches just, they don't get it. And oh, by the way, and we appreciate it, David, thanks. We appreciate you listening. The coaches that let the other team have the ball and not call timeouts, you can always control it, they, as opposed to letting them run the clock. I don't. A lot of times, I don't think that they call, that that coaches call timeouts soon enough. You're wasting so much.
You're allowing the opponent to dictate to
you
how your drive is going to go, even if you get the ball back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is, I don't understand at all.
Right. No. You want the control of the clock, even if you do. You know, oh well, if you waste your timeouts or waste them or use your timeouts, as opposed to holding on to them, you still have more time and you're able to manipulate the clock when you have the ball. Scott Frost wins the Bear Bryant. I think that was deservedly so.
The picture is interesting, which I found interesting because he's wearing a Nebraska zip up,
right.
And obviously he has a UCF helmet. In the photo, which is weird. Don't you wear just suits to these things?
I guess he's
repping his school. And the Scott Frost thing is crazy. I was talking about it with someone yesterday, how he balanced, obviously, trying to bring players. And now the dead period's over. And by dead period in recruiting, it means you can now bring kids on campus. And that starts official visits start leading up to the final signing day. So he's got to get going. Just a credit to that guy and that staff.
No.
Everybody from the UCF staff is now on the Nebraska staff, which is somewhat weird. Now, he has all the ties to Nebraska. I'm not sure about the rest of his staff. I think he hired that staff to recruit Florida. So my interest would be, how does that staff work in that area of the country?
Yeah, I don't.
Because he brought everybody.
It's one of those jobs, though,
that you're going to recruit nationally.
You have to recruit. Because you don't have enough players.
And
in
he might
state.
Be better off and recruiting in Florida.
Seeing, I think we're seeing.
To get people to Nebraska.
I think we're seeing how much harder it is. There's a lot of talent up in Ohio and New Jersey. So Ohio State is able to. Michigan is able to. But we're seeing Tennessee. It's always been difficult for Dana in West Virginia. He just doesn't have any players there. It's always difficult. It's difficult in Nebraska now. Whereas it was a much bigger. And, oh, by the way, there was a huge advantage for Nebraska. If you were in the state of Nebraska, you didn't count against their scholarships because they had local scholarships that they gave to the football players who went to they gave them academic scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to Nebraska, and they were able to just load up. At the back in the day, Nebraska used to have was like Alabama in that they had four deep. You know, guys that would be starting at other places, but that's just simply not the case anymore. Guys, you know, if they're out of sight, out of mind. These kids don't know anything about the history of Nebraska, so it's going to be an uphill climb. Although Scott Frost has made a name for himself, Scott Frost has shown that he can coach. He obviously can recruit. He got some good players there. He went from 0-12 to 13-0,
and his offense. We don't talk to people in Nebraska, so they probably wouldn't want to hear it. But his offense certainly fits them because they're not going to get the best players in comparison to who they're facing. So it's an offense that minimizes some of the advantage of a defensive line when you can spread them out. So I think that offense fits Nebraska. I mean, we know their history in terms of the power eye and the option. They can't get away with that anymore.
Well, that's what he ran, too. He can't be more opposite in his approach now.
Yeah, but the way they're going to have to beat teams now, just because they're not going to be able to get the talent that Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan get, you're going to have to spread them out and use speed and quickness and the horizontally on the field to try to get it done. Now, defensively, it'll be that'll be his biggest problem. I think he'll find a way to score points. How is he going to get enough athletes? Because I don't care what scheme you run, you're still going to need athletes on defense. That's why we see like the Techs of the world always struggle. Score all the points of the world. How come you can't play defense there?
I would liken them more, though, to Wisconsin than I would Tech.
Yeah, I was just trying to use a Big 12 example, current Big 12 example, how you can score points one place, but you can't play defense, and you're getting the same caliber athletes.
I think they're going to probably be able to get those big corn-fed white kids on the defensive line.
But how many?
And they've got to find some corners.
You're going to need speed rushers.
And speed backers.
But how many corn-fed white guys can be 6'4", 3'10", and be disruptive in the Big Ten? How many guys? And by the way, you're not just competing.
I don't know. Look at Wisconsin.
Ohio State. Wisconsin benefits. Well, Ohio State is a national recruiting. They do that.
But they got the Boses. They've got the lock on the Boses.
For whatever reason, they go down to Florida. I think the Boses are their legacy.
So that's why those kids go from South Florida to Nebraska and go play. But Nebraska, they don't have the advantage. They're going to have to nationally recruit. They just don't have the name or the recent success of Ohio State. And I don't think you can just use corn-fed guys from your own state to go get that done. They're going to have to find a way, maybe get second-tier guys from California or Texas. And the problem with that is you don't play teams in Texas anymore, so you don't have that name recognition. You don't come down here anymore and play.
There's still some Midwestern kids you can play.
But you're fighting Ohio State for those kids.
Yeah.
And nationally, you're fighting everybody for those
kids.
It'll
be interesting to see how Scott Frost works the living room. Whether or not he can compete.
Convince,
yeah. I mean, if he walks in and obviously it's Urban first, but and Jim Harbaugh second.
And if there's a great kid at maybe not necessarily Nebraska, but around the area, you're not just fighting those two. You're gonna probably see Saban.
Ferentz.
If he's not beating out Ferentz. I mean, Iowa's a good program, but Ferentz shouldn't be out recruited.
Ferentz has got a name now.
I get it, but he should not get out recruited by Iowa. Wisconsin should be the formula they look at. At Wisconsin, they're on the same side, the division.
Yeah.
So there's a way to get that done, considering you're on the weaker side. You don't face Penn State and Michigan and Ohio State.
I agree. All right, let's talk Renters Warehouse right now. RentersWarehouse.com, RentersWarehouse.com, 713-224-RENT. That's my guy over there, Rich Drake, and all of his guys. They're awesome. And what they're doing is making sure the people have a place to live. Everybody is looking for a place. I mean, how many people were displaced? 175,000 homes affected by Hurricane Harvey. And Renter's Warehouse has been there all this time. Just, I mean, it has been nuts. And one of the things that they have to have is houses for people want to come in here. There are more and more people, despite the hurricane, despite the fact, and all of those people that were displaced. On top of that, you got all the people that want to come and live here. We're one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And people just want to be here, and people want to not buy, they want to rent. They want to come, they want to see, and especially if you're new to the area, you want to come in here, see where you want to live. You can't trust that I'm going to buy a house right away, and then I'm going to hate where I live. All you got to do is call my man, Rich Drake over there, 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT, and let him find you that place. In an average of 17 days, your house will rent. And how long is it going to take you to sell? Forget about it. What you got to do is go to renterswarehouse.com and let these people take care of it. Let someone else pay off your mortgage and you keep the property at 713-224-RENT.
ESPN 97.5.